welcome to the AA Meeting on Air on 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Jennifer. I'm an alcoholic and I'll be chairing this meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers today, Judy, Harriet and Mike, who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with you all. Would you like to help me join me in opening this meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may share their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve recovery. So I'm now going to invite our speakers to share, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope with us. First up today, we have Judy. Welcome, Judy.
Thanks, Jen. I'm Judy and I'm an alcoholic and very grateful to be here today sharing my story. I actually got sober a very long time ago because I'm quite old, and I was in England at the time. My children were, they were 18 and 21, and they were quite despairing of their mother. One morning my daughter said to me, "I just can't cope with you anymore when you're like that, mother." And I immediately got up and I went to the phone and I phoned AA, and I have no recollection of looking up the phone number. I have no recollection of ever thinking of AA before, but it was just those words of hers that made me do something about my drinking. In the previous few months, I think it was about 4 months before I got sober, that I walked out of my last job and I had yet another suicide attempt, or trying to just blot things out. I don't think it was a genuine suicide attempt. I just couldn't cope with life any longer. And the next 4 months were spent really just getting through. I went into hospital, and I was put in the psych ward, but I only had a night in there, and I went home. And yes, those last few months I'd been completely and utterly in despair. I just didn't quite know how to cope with my life. My marriage was going wrong and my son was very ill. And the only way I could cope with anything was to have a drink. So, yes, I phoned up AA and I went to my first meeting the next day. I had a phone call in the meantime from another member of the fellowship who said she would meet me outside. And it was very scary going to my first meeting. But I immediately felt as if I was home. Everyone was so welcoming, and my family life wasn't like that at the time. My family life was horrible, and yet here are a new group of people who were welcoming me, not spending their lives thinking, "Oh my God, you know, that woman, what's she going to do next? She's always drunk and her behaviour's just appalling." So these people welcomed me, they understood me, and as each person shared, I got more from them. And one of the things that was pointed out in someone sharing was that there is no situation which a drink will improve. And that just rang huge bells for me because my life was such a complete and utter mess. All I ever did was to drink on it to try and make it better, and it only ever got worse. So I totally understood that you know, drink will only make anything worse. So I took that home with me, and I couldn't decide when I'd go to my next meeting, but my daughter said to me, "Oh, why don't you go again to the next one that they suggested?" So I did, and I haven't stopped going in all the time that I've been in AA. I was 14 years sober when my daughter had her first child, so it was my first grandchild, and that was over in New Zealand, where we are now, of course. So I had to move country. Now, in the meantime, I got divorced and lived on my own for the first time ever. All this happened in sobriety. I was somebody who was very dependent on my husband, and I couldn't believe that with the help of AA I could actually manage on my own, because I started growing up. I learned how to cope with everything, because I was no longer drinking, and because I had this huge support behind me. I had a sponsor. I used to do service as soon as possible, so washing the dishes after a meeting, cups and saucers. And yes, I love doing service, and I'm sorry, I'm very much rambling here, but you know, that's me. I'm nervous when I share. I always am, and it's not just because I'm in a radio station. I find sharing my story very difficult. But yes, so I moved over here, and I did all the things that I'd done in England. I went to regular meetings. Devonport Monday night is my home group, but I go to other meetings in Devonport and Belmont and all over, really. I mean, I've been over to meetings all over the world due to having done AA in two different countries. So, yes, I found myself a sponsor over here. I started doing service pretty quickly, and I just carried on going to meetings and doing all the things that I'd learnt to do as a sober person. In sobriety, life hasn't been easy for me. As I say, I got divorced in England, and then when I was about 3 years sober, my daughter was in a terrible car accident where her fiancé was killed, and I was able for the first time to really focus on someone else's pain rather than my own pain. And that was such a joy to me, to be able to do that, to think of her instead of myself. Then later on over here, her first child was diagnosed at a year with a terrible disability. And again, I was able to be there for her, and that was the whole reason I moved over here, in fact. But I love being in New Zealand, and more especially, I love being in AA, because it means that wherever I am in the world, whatever my situation, I can just go to an AA meeting and feel okay. I've always got support. I love helping other people. I'm really drying up here, so I'm really sorry about that, but it's been lovely sharing with you, and yes, I'll thank you all for listening to me.
Thank you so much, Judy. It was really lovely to hear your story today. And next up we have Harriet. Welcome, Harriet. And off you go.
Thank you. Hi, my name's Harriet. I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be sober and to share my story with everybody today. What it was like for me when I was drinking was that once I started, I couldn't make a decision to stop and then actually follow through with that. When I drink, it feels like there's some sort of chemical reaction inside me, and I get a thirst for more and more that can never be quenched. I'll decide
hey, I'm just going to go out for one or two drinks and then not be able to follow through with that. When I drink, I make decisions that I don't like. I do things that I don't want to do. I go places where I shouldn't be with people who I shouldn't be hanging out with. I feel so much shame and regret for what I do when I'm drinking, but despite my best efforts, I can't not do it again. There'll be so many times where I've made a decision, I'm not going to drink today, or I'm not going to do that again, and I'll really mean it. I will absolutely decide, that's it, I've had enough. And I might stay sober for a week, a fortnight, a month, but I'll always go back to it. I have no ability to make my mind up and stick to it. I just have a feeling like it's going to happen again, and it does. And then I'll feel the same way, that regret, shame, remorse, just the emotional torture of what I've done when I'm drinking. And the only way I know how to ease that feeling is to drink more. And it's, for me, it built up and it took over my whole life. I couldn't achieve my goals. I couldn't be the person that I wanted to be. I became an awful friend, an awful family member. I couldn't study. I couldn't work. There was just no hope for me. But I didn't know how to stop that, and I didn't know how to change. And the way that I came into Alcoholics Anonymous was through the medical profession. I had a mental health crisis, and it was recommended to me to come to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I went to my first meeting. I called somebody's number off the community centre website, and I was able to go to a meeting. And everybody there was 40 years older than me or more, and I was horrified that this was my life, but people shared what it was like for them when they were drinking, and it was like me. And people shared what it was like when they weren't drinking, and it was like me. And that made me realize that alcoholism doesn't, it's not one kind of person who's an alcoholic. And from that moment, I knew that I had alcoholism, and I knew that there was a solution for me in Alcoholics Anonymous. Right from the go, I'm really grateful for the past me in sobriety, because I did everything that was recommended to me by people in Alcoholics Anonymous. I attended a lot of meetings, I got a sponsor, and I started working through the 12 steps. The way that we did that was through being involved in AA literature, and there's a book, Alcoholics Anonymous, commonly known as the Big Book, and through that, I was able to achieve sobriety. I did a lot of things that I didn't expect myself to do. I would be praying, taking a personal inventory, and apologizing and making amends to people who I never thought those relationships could be repaired. And after finishing the 12 steps, I had a spiritual awakening, and now I have a power greater than me has given me a defense against the first drink that I cannot do myself. Like I said, I can't make a decision to stop drinking and stay stopped, but after working the 12 steps, I've been able to maintain sobriety that I know that I couldn't have done by myself. My life in sobriety now is completely different to anything that I ever could have imagined for myself. I'm able to maintain relationships. I'm able to be in the workforce. I'm able to do very boring things like pay my bills on time and drive with a license and a registered car. Things that were impossible for me to do when I was drinking, I'm able to do now through the support of people in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm able to be a positive family member. I'm able to, be a person that I had only ever dreamed of being, and I'm able to do that without drinking. I'm able to face the challenges of life one day at a time in a way that
I'm not going to be making worse by drinking. I'm able to help others, and something I'm really passionate about is helping other people to achieve sobriety through Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's one of the reasons why I'm here to share my story with you today. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much, Harriet. Really lovely to hear your story today. And last up, and you've got a little bit of extra time as well, Mike, which I think is going to be, for your ears, very happy to hear. So, Mike, we invite you now to share your experience, strength and hope with us.
Cool. My name is Mike. I'm definitely an alcoholic. I got sober on the 20th of January 2023. 1 year sober, 7 months, 18 days sober. And I attend AA meetings most every night. I drank because of I lost my dad when I was young. I've also lost my grandparents. So all I left with is mum. So, and also I had something else that happened to me, but I can't really mention that because it's quite deep and some drink. So how I do recovery, I attend meetings every night, got myself a sponsor, and I don't want to mention his name because I'm allowed to mention his first name. He's an awesome sponsor. His name's Tom, and I live with yesterday he even came over to the step work yesterday. I love recovery so much. I've got so many friends, and I love to mention the names, but I don't know if they'll. I'll just say I've got heaps of friends in recovery. The best thing about recovery is when I was told you had to get rid of your old friends, and that's the first thing I did. I got rid of all my old friends because they all drink, And how I got clean is met people in recovery, true people who want to make a difference in their lives. And how I do it as well, I do service. I do voluntary work at the food bank. I help out with the homeless people. We go give food out there the days I can go do it. I also do woodwork, keep myself busy, because they always say, you've got to keep yourself busy. And worst thing is isolation, Isolation is the worst thing. And I recommend people out there, if they need help, AA meetings and getting yourself into a detox, a detox program. Help, there's a lot of help out there, All you got to do is just reach out for help and just get there and people will help out, There's so much in recovery. Now my family love me, because when I was drinking, my mum's words were, I love you, son, but I don't like the way you were becoming, And I didn't even like myself drinking, and I couldn't find out the why I couldn't stop, because I had this terrible disease, and what it was doing every day, it was shorting out my life. And I always thought alcohol would fix things in life, but all it does is makes things worse. I created a lot of havoc for my family. The only people I had to make amends to was my own family, and I did that. And I'm grateful to have a family. Grateful to have a good brother now who I can get along with. And I'm also learning the steps. Step work's amazing, going over the book. Also like going to meetings and sharing at meetings and supporting people. The best thing is like being there and supporting people. I've got so many people who are behind me and love me, and I've never had that in my life, I've always had people that would take, when I used to drink, take people who would take advantage of me and wanted me around because there was alcohol, but now I've thrown all that negative away, and I like to focus on positive things that bring light to people's life, because I get told by a lot of people that, Mike, I like your sharing, and I just want to make a difference in life, and I love my family so much. I also love all my family and friends in recovery. I consider everybody in recovery, even people who I don't know, my family. And it's a good thing to say that, because when you go to meetings, that if you have a relapse, for example, they will lead you along the way. They'll support you all the way, no matter what. If you relapse, they will support you. And they always say that the people that come to meetings is the most important people in these rooms, because we get to help people get to where we are today, So I advise anyone who's going through a struggle in their life, please just reach out, because there is help. because alcohol is a terrible disease, and we always thought alcohol would fix my issues, but it just made things harder, and I went through a bit of depression from alcohol because it's a depressant. It's a bottle of suicide because honestly, I used to self harm, cut myself. I got scars on my arms from being suicidal, you know. And I always thought alcohol would bring my loved ones back, but they haven't. But the main thing now I realize is my dad is in heaven right now, and he must be so proud of to have a son who's in recovery, you know. And that's all my mom ever wanted was for me to give up the drinking. And I hope maybe one day my brother will give up drinking, but I'm not going to tell him to give up drinking. He will have to do it on his own steps, you know. One day he'll be in these rooms, you know. Even though he's not an alcoholic, he does drink though. But I hope one day he comes to AA because it'll be cool. But I love my brother so much and my mum. And if my dad is up in heaven, you know, I just want to tell him I love him, and I know he's proud, you know. And all I want to do is actually make people happy, you know. And because I always believe, you know, when we came into this awesome world, we were born sober. So one day I would love to leave this world knowing that I haven't had any more alcohol in my system, you know. And yeah, and my shout out goes to all the people who were suffering, you know, because they always help out everyone, you know. And my sponsor, you know, I'm really grateful for my sponsor. I'm grateful for recovery. I'm reading from a letter because I have my disability. I'm ADHD. I'm autistic, but I do not let my challenges get in the way. It's like alcohol is a disease, you know. And best thing is we can overcome this, you know, taking one day at a time. And also I'm grateful for, like, you know, the higher power. You know, you can choose to become a high. You can choose to believe in your higher power, like God or anything. You know, even nature could be your higher power. I love doing the wellness programs. I also am grateful for life, grateful for the food, grateful for family. And I also love working at the food bank. You know, I go and help out there, and it's amazing. You know, days I can go there. I do woodwork as well, and I love making things. I even make money boxes for recovery meetings, and I want to make them for all the meetings. And that's just doing service. You know, doing service. When you do that, you feel happy inside that you've helping other people and doing something good. Well, service is the best thing in recovery, and that's all I got to share, everyone. God bless, and everybody have a lovely day, and just remember, recovery makes our world go round. We're all reaching out to a higher ground. God bless. Amen.
Oh, thank you so much. It was so lovely to hear from you and hear your experience, strength and hope with it today, Mike. It's been a real privilege. Now, we've been quite lucky this morning. We've got one more guest who's got to jump on just for, you know, 3 or 4 minutes to share her experience, strength and hope. We'll just wait for her to just get set up. And she's set up and she's ready to go. Welcome back, Sally. Good to have you here. And, have you got a couple of minutes with us?
Thanks, Jen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sally and I'm an alcoholic. Lovely to be here with you this morning. And gosh, I have heard such amazing messages in this meeting this morning. Just the hope that recovery brings people, that freedom, that joy. It is just amazing. It's such a beautiful thing. And, you know, when I was drinking, I didn't have that hope. I didn't have any freedom. I was incredibly lonely. I isolated myself. I lost control. And, you know, my drinking, it caused me really to lose part of myself. I was an awful friend. I was a disappointing daughter. I was never proud of... I didn't feel like I was achieving the things that I wanted to. I didn't realise that alcoholism was a disease. And I didn't want to admit that I had it. It took me a long time to come to terms with that. And then once I had come to terms with that, it took me a long time to actually surrender. And by surrendering, I mean just
truly accepting that I was powerless over alcohol and that my life was unmanageable. But once I did surrender, that's when, you know, I could focus on recovery. And what a gift that's been. You know, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, because my first year of sobriety was hard. It was a tough graft. But getting sober and staying sober was my number one priority. So I put everything that I had into it. And I went to lots of meetings. I got a sponsor, I got a home group, and I started to do the steps. And I worked, so I worked hard on recovery. And after, what felt like a long period of time, it started to get easier. I had, I was able to kind of shed off some layers of stuff that I needed to. I needed to be free of the drink, but I needed to be free of these other burdens that I was carrying around. And AA helped me do that. And, today my life is just so different than what it was 4 years ago. I have amazing friends. I have a great job. I have a loving family. I have a husband and stepchildren. And I have pets that I can look after. You know, there's a saying in AA, and they talk about in your first year of recovery, you can get a plant, and if you can keep that plant alive in your second year, you can get a pet. And then in your third year, you might be lucky enough to get into a relationship. Well, you know, I'm really proud to say that I've done all of those things. I'm so happy to be in recovery, and I'm really grateful to be here today. Thanks so much for letting me share, Jen.
Oh, thank you, Sally. Always a treat to hear from you. So, look, that's all we've actually got time for today. So, we're on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call on 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757. I'll just repeat that, 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757, or visit the AA website www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on the Planet FM website, www.planetaudio.org.nz, under the program name AA On Air. So finally, would you like to help and close me now with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
The noise is deafening in here. I can't see very clearly. Everybody's in the kitchen swapping recent horror stories. Getting my reasoning straight. Came here to loosen the reins and tripped up the stairs. It's crowded in here. That's when I saw him. He was 6'1" with his shirt undone, and I was dancing in the hallway. I heard his name and I met my fate and threw myself across the doorway and said, "Dance with me, I'm begging you, please." In the promise I'm sweet and you're in the driver's seat. Like, dance with me, I'm begging you, please. In the low light, you look like a dream. Oh, come with me, I promise I'm sweet and you're in the driver's seat. Ooh. I like to stay up late, waste time on arcade games, or we could go driving. Really don't mind, whatever you want to. 'Cause you're 6'1" with your shirt undone, and I'm a sucker for the long.